We're told that George Gershwin and his brother Ira were irrepressible doodlers. George often sketched heads, especially his own, on letters, musical sketches, canceled checks, telephone pads, or whatever was at hand, and took up watercoloring in 1927. By the next year, he also had begun acquiring art, including 5 lithographs by George Bellows, among them Dempsey Through the Ropes. In 1929, Gershwin started to collect art more seriously and took to scouring New York's museums and galleries. In a mere 7 years or so, Gershwin spent a reported $50,000 acquiring more than 150 works of art, including paintings by Chagall, Derain, Dufy, Gauguin, Kandinsky, Kokoschka, Modigliani, Picasso, Rousseau, and more, but also African sculpture and the work of such Americans as Thomas Hart Benton. In a 1937 essay, Vanity Fair editor Frank Cronenshield observed, "Among the modern painters whose work George Gershwin collected so prodigally and knowingly, he found his spirit in the most exact accord with Georges Rouault. He responded particularly to the Frenchman's breathtaking power, the almost barbaric cadences that infused his canvases. Oh, Gershwin used to explain, if only I could put Rouault into music." All that from George Gershwin, His Life and Work by Howard Pollack. How fitting that a gallery full of original works of art will surround the performers in a program titled We've Got Gershwin, to be presented by Broadway Showtime and Company as the next Sunday at the Circle event at the Wyoming Valley Art League in downtown Wilkes-Barre, this Sunday afternoon at 3. Ed Snitko is a veteran member of Broadway Showtime, and he stopped in at the WVIA studios to fill us in.
Our director, Brendan Eibert, and I have been friends for a long time, and we've done many things together, both in the Wyoming Valley and beyond. One of our singers, Beth, was a member of our group called Broadway Showtime. And Broadway Showtime has been in existence even before I knew Brenda, and then I joined the team, and then we had a singer at that time, another Beth, interestingly enough, and then we had our second Beth, and then things kind of changed. We went different ways. Brenda and I always stayed together doing performances. So about 2 years ago, Brenda came to me and she said, how do you feel about doing a benefit for the Wyoming Valley Art League? I was interested. We did a tribute to Cole Porter, and it was very successful. We had a great audience. The manager of the Art League was very appreciative, and we said maybe we'll do something like this again in the future. Some time passed. She called me again. She's like, Ed, how about this time the Gershwins? And I'm like, oh, well, okay, sure. That's how this particular one came to be.
How about your personal loves and training in music? Were you a little guy who was singing?
It's interesting that you should mention that. My Italian grandmother lived with us, so on Sundays we had the Italian hour. And I was probably 4 years old, maybe even a little younger, because my memories are of me singing opera in kindergarten. So I would sing Italian folk songs or opera arias like La Donna Mobile as a little kid, not knowing what it meant, just mimicking the Italian hour. So my love for music goes back to probably pre-birth, because when the Beatles came to America, I was still resting, waiting to come into this earth. My mother always said she watched the Ed Sullivan Show when she was expecting, and she saw the Beatles, and she said I was an active little tyke even before I was born. So always loved music, truly always.
And how about the Great American Songbook? What is it that speaks to you in that?
My work has taken me into skilled nursing facilities. Even growing up and playing different shows, it was for anniversary parties. It was for a lot of different things. I always loved the anniversary parties, the older folks that were celebrating their 50th even. And so my exposure has been all over the board. I'm a semi-retired disc jockey, a mobile disc jockey. So of course I'm familiar with the chart stuff presently, but my true love has always been songs from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I don't know that there's any one thing about the American Songbook, but it just seems to say more. The songs seem to say more and have a greater meaning. And not only to me, to people I talk to, they share that with me as well.
When you and Brenda get together and the other forces who will be performing in the Gershwin program, do you get to say, oh, Brenda, I've got to do this one? How does it come together?
She calls me usually with the idea and says, are you on board? And I am. And I'll mention what songs I'd like to do. And then they all change because she's like, oh, Ed, but so-and-so wants to do this one. Would you pick another one? And so I do. But I was firm on my one song because this one song has great personal meaning.
You brought it up, so you have to tell us.
Well, the song is Embraceable You. And it was a favorite of someone very dear to me who has since passed on. And so when I hear Embraceable You, it does have a very special meaning for me.
So you're down for that
one? I'm down for that.
And so how does it unfold? Do you have an arc to the program?
I am the, I guess, producer. Once the performers have selected their pieces, Brenda basically assembles them, gives them to me who's doing what and so on, asks me to put together a company piece to begin the show and a company piece to end the show. And so I look at lyrics, think of things, and kind of put them in place, assign lines to the performers, then put them in order so that we're not having, you know, things all happen at once, throw in an intermission, and it happens.
Who's going to be accompanying you?
Brenda will be our accompanist.
When you had the Cole Porter session, it would seem to me that that's a very congenial space for something as intimate as a review like you're doing.
It is. It's in the round. It's a great building. It's in downtown Wilkes-Barre. It's got some history to it, but it is. It's a nice, intimate setting. It is.
Then what are some of the tunes that we'll know and love?
Beth and I are doing a duet, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. I'm doing Embraceable You. I'm doing They Can't Take That Away From Me. Our company pieces are I Got Rhythm and Our Love Is Here to Stay. And sometimes hearing a song, it's like, I didn't know George Gershwin did that. I've been listening to that, you know, I heard that on Bugs Bunny. I didn't know that so-and-so did that.
I know that one of the things that characterizes the Sundays, the Circle events, is the wonderful refreshment table. They have wonderful, artful bakers at the Wyoming Valley Art League who prepare a really wide assortment of not just tasty food, but food to behold as well. So that's always a nice part of the event and the ambiance of an event at Sunday at the Circle.
We paraphrase sometimes a famous saying. We say, if you feed them, they will come.
And if you give them great music like these pieces by George Gershwin. Ed Snitko, veteran member of Broadway Showtime, speaking with us about We've Got Gershwin, an event at the Wyoming Valley Art League this Sunday afternoon at 3, March 25th. The Circle Center for the Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre, 130 South Franklin Street, in the rear. It's in the middle of the block between South Main Street and South Franklin Street. There are plenty of signs. Admission is free. They'd love a contribution to the efforts. It's Broadway Showtime and Company, and you can hear songs like this. A company number, I've Got Rhythm. They Can't Take That Away From Me. Summertime, I've Got a Crush on You. Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. Our Love Is Here to Stay. Broadway Showtime and Company, Beth Connor, Brenda Nybert, Katrina Ligas, Darren Moore, Ed Snitko, and WVIA's Larry Voitko. They'll be on hand this Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Wyoming Valley Art League, the Circle Center for the Arts. It's another Sunday at the Circle that is produced by Rose Wright and Robert Anderson so ably. And you can get details on the web, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org.